All right, welcome back. Time to go to Ireland and talk to Father Paul Kramer again. Always wonderful to hear his take on things. He is on the inside of what used to be the Catholic Church. He is one of the last stalwarts trying to hold the original tenets of the Church together and to help, I think, those who are serious about Catholicism and the idea of that kind of religion, help them find their way away from the, I wouldn't even call it a reformist church. It's a mess, and it needs to be confronted, and I hope that happens soon. In fact, I hope there's an alternate Catholic Church offered to people who want to get away from the Bergoglio, hocus-pocus, and the rest of it. It's not a good situation. Kind of like Trump here. I mean, when you think about Trump, I think about all the crap that he's marketing with his name. Golden tennis shoes, wristwatches, wine. I don't even know all of them. There are so many, it's disgusting. He is now wanting to put his name, as you know, on the $1 bill. He wants his face on a brand new $250 bill. He wants the reflecting pool at the Lincoln Memorial, $13 million, to be somehow revised and include his name. Then we have the Arc de Trump, the Arch of Triumph, which Trump wants his name on. There's the Trump Ballroom, built at no expense to the taxpayer, but believe it, there's a lot more going on with the Trump Ballroom than just a ballroom. There's underground facilities that are going to be, I think, quite extensive. There's that. And now, as if we haven't had enough, let me get this. Hold on. I've got to find this. Trump calls the Strait of Hormuz. He now calls it, you guessed it, the Strait of Trump. Is this man sick or what? I've never seen an ego like that, ever. And I hope never to again. He said today, allegedly winking, referring to the Strait of Hormuz as the Strait of Trump. But he's not joking. If they were to change the name of it to his name, he would be wallowing in joy. Iran, he said, has to open up the Strait of Trump. I mean, Hormuz, said in a speech at the Future Investment Initiative in Miami today. So there you go. He's a real case study. This man's brain is not something to inspire confidence. And we knew about Biden, obviously on the way out. I don't know what the hell he's doing now. He's probably just drooling all day somewhere. Anyway, let's find out what's up with Father Kramer. Hello, my friend. Welcome back. Thanks for getting up early. Always appreciate it.
It's great to be back again. And unfortunately, the news isn't good. But as things are going in the church and in Washington, both going equally bad, and Trump, as you mentioned, Iran is striking back with devastating retaliation. And Trump won't even admit that they're at war. He's trying to promote this idea that the war is over and that the United States has won the war. Trump has lost this war. Trump has lost the war. This war is over, but basically over. But it's a lost war.
Sure, I agree. I think everybody with a brain agrees.
He's lost the war in such a manner that it has completely undermined any confidence in American military power. He's undermined the alliances with our allies in such a manner that it's going to embolden those who are opposed.
Right.
to the United
well
States.
Well said. Exactly right. Exactly right. I want to tell you, everyone, that Father Kramer is correct in pointing this out. Iran is answering, probably, I think, in a disproportionate way to any asinine move by Trump and his, pardon me, his military. They're coming back with maybe double the amount of retaliation. And it's right on the money. It's very strong. And it's all being kept secret from us. They will not tell us how much damage the Iranians are doing. They're ready to go. Remember, there were 60-some of their underground missile cities, they call them, that were actually knocked out of action by having their entrances bombed and destroyed. Nobody could get in or out. I don't know what happened in there. I'm sure they had exits for the human staff, but they got over 50 of the 60 that were sealed up by American and Jewish bombing open and running, and they probably pulled much of the ordnance out. So they're really ready to go if there were to be another war. I don't think Trump dares do it now. The word is, Father Kramer, that, and we've talked about this before, that the Iranians actually have a bomb or two or three. They've had them. Were they given to them? I don't know. It doesn't matter. They've got the bomb. And that's one of the reasons that Trump is not acting in an offensive sense like most people would expect. I think. That's my take. Go ahead, please.
They've got the bomb, and they've also got the hypersonic missiles, which the United States does not have.
Correct. Well said. Yep.
The United States is only beginning to develop these things. It's not like we have hypersonic missiles ready to shoot back at our enemies. But our enemies have the hypersonic missiles. They have the hypersonic missiles that they can shoot against us.
Yep. Yes, Europe is, I'm sure, within the range of any. If you as a nation have launched satellites into space, you have intercontinental ballistic missile capability. Keep that in mind. And the Iranians have launched a number of satellites with their own technology. I believe they could hit anywhere in Europe they wanted to. I don't think they can reach across the Atlantic yet. But then there's Kim in North Korea. He does have missiles that can hit at least the West Coast now, and he's on the verge of introducing a new long-range line of missiles that can cover the U.S. So you've got that to consider as well. It's all nuts. Trump is nuts.
And he's still with his megalomania, he still thinks he has the most powerful military in the world.
I know. He's just a punk, you know? He's a punk, a thug. And he answers to his Zionist controllers. Think about it. Iran, basically isolated with its own technology, was able to withstand everything the U.S. and its Zionist overlords could throw at it for, what, over a month? It was over 30 days. And they stood tall. They lost a lot of good people, but they never buckled. And they're still now, many say, strong, if not stronger than they were when the war started. So that's the truth.
And they have wreaked such devastation on Israel.
Oh, yeah, it's all hidden. Yeah.
Tel Aviv is like Gaza. It's a wasteland.
Have you any independent confirmation of that, Father Kramer? Has anybody sent you any photos that were somehow snuck out by way of transmission from Israel showing the real damage of Tel Aviv? We haven't been able to find much evidence at all except for some of the early videos. And then that was shut down. So I don't know. But if you have anything solid, please let me know.
I did see some videos, some of the earlier videos that were rather impressive as far as the damage that was being done.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The penalties are so severe if anyone were to show them. And we certainly don't see any videos of Tel Aviv in its pristine state coming out of Israel now.
Don't see anything. No.
We don't see anything. Yeah. So it's a blackout. It is a blackout, and that tells you.
Well, it's a dictatorial blackout. It's a ruthless, racist, hate-driven state, and to threaten its own people with 5 years in prison for simply sharing a video is disgusting. It's a disgusting leadership over there. And all the people suffer, the good people and the bad people. They all suffer. So, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Go back to your point that Gaza does now look very much like Tel Aviv and vice versa. So carry on.
And the Iranian regime knows perfectly well that they have the entire Western world by the throat by keeping the Strait of Hormuz closed, because that is going to sabotage the global economy in such a manner that the West is going to collapse.
They literally are sitting on top of that kind of potential power. I concur. It's a good point you make. They are literally sitting on the chokehold of much of the Western health and prosperity. They used to be. It's gone now. It's in big, big trouble. I don't know if the Europeans are going to have to ignite a war with Russia, but if they do, they're going to lose. It's bad and getting worse there. And they keep pushing money into Ukraine. And Ukraine keeps sending hundreds, I don't know if you know this, people, hundreds of drones and UAPs every day are being launched from Ukraine into Russia, deeply into Russia. I think they have what do they have? A 1,500-kilometer range now or something like that into Russia with these drones they have. They're making their own drones. Europe doesn't stop sending them drones. The Trump administration just okayed another, I think it was about $20 million for Ukraine. I can't remember the exact number. But Trump is, people have to remember that Trump is eminently involved in the war on Russia being prosecuted by Ukraine. It's the Ukraine-U.S.-Israel war against Russia. Please continue. I'm talking too much.
Vladimir Putin has responded in such a way. He is now inflicting devastation on Ukrainian cities like Kiev. Not like the Israelis, though. He has given ample warning in advance, telling people,
correct,
you better get out.
Correct.
You better clear out of there because we're going to bomb you there. After a Russian school gets bombed and innocent people are killed there, and with the onslaught of all these drones being sent into Russia, Putin has reached the point that he can't... He can't allow this to continue.
His credibility is on the line. It really is. The people are tired. 4 years of war, and the Russians still have not been able to fully expel Ukrainian military from the Donbass after 4 years. This is a shock.
So now, Putin is beginning to answer with greater firepower. And he has already served notice to the West. He said to the Europeans, if you want war, we're going to give it to you. And if we make war on you, there's going to be nothing left of you to be saved. Those were his words.
Father Kramer, there have been many similar statements by Russian leadership. And fortunately, they haven't made good on them, but the statements made have put Europe on notice that anything at any time can happen. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there, but it's the whole thing is revolting. It's disgusting. 2 million Ukrainian Christians slaughtered. Zelensky couldn't care less. Couldn't care less about that. Just death everywhere, suffering. 15 million Ukrainians have fled, never to go home. That's a bad situation there. But Europe's very best, NATO's very best, continues to allow Ukraine to avoid defeat. How's that? They're avoiding defeat by this massive surge every night of hundreds of drones against Russia. And we hear about how many the Russians shot down, say 225 for fun. But you never see any report about how many they didn't shoot down. So there's that.
Well, Russia is responding with devastating firepower with its bombing.
Finally.
And this is a message to the West that if you continue to support this war against Russia, then all of the West, all of Europe and the West will be invited to the same party. They will be bombed likewise. They'll all be bombed.
Well, they should be.
What this already does, it means that we're going to have even a greater influx of refugees into Europe, and Europe is already breaking under the flood of refugees. It's going to collapse the economies here.
Right.
Ireland is at the breaking point now, already at the breaking point. If we have a new flood of refugees entering,
a new invasion, right?
The country cannot possibly withstand this.
Father Kramer, have you seen any single European country actually involved with a mass deportation of these invaders? Blacks from Africa, Muslims from the Middle East, etc., etc. Has anybody, or has communism snuck into control the governments of all major European countries to the extent that nothing is being done except in the courts, and they're releasing these rapists and killers as if they didn't do anything? I'm every day I'm mind blown by what I see the courts in Europe doing. Same thing's going on here with communist judges here. But Europe cannot tolerate any more invaders, and they must begin to throw them out. And I ask you, is that happening anywhere in Europe, to your knowledge?
Well, there are countries, I think, like Poland, who are just not allowing them in.
That's the only way you could have handled this from the beginning. No, from the beginning, like Hungary did. Same thing, Poland.
And that is the only sane response to this situation, because they can make all their legal directives, insisting,
right,
mandating that the countries must take these refugees. They can back that up with their so-called moral arguments that we have the obligation to accommodate these people. But there's an old saying in law, it's a legal principle: no one is bound to do what is impossible. Nemo tenetur ad impossibile. You cannot bring in such a multitude of refugees that your country is going to sink into. You're going to become a failed state. No one can be obligated to commit national suicide. No country can be obligated to destroy itself in this manner. So the moral argument is gone, and with that,
right,
without any moral basis, the legal argument is also self-nullifying. You can't issue a directive, a law, and give it the power of law with all the authority of law that a nation must commit suicide. So these countries have the right to resist, and we can just say no. We have to just say no. And that's the response.
That is the only response. No. That's enough. No, no equivocating. No more. It's done. Europe has been ravaged, betrayed, and raped by third world garbage that has been brought in, not allowed in, as much as brought in, by the same people who brought in up to 50 million here in the U.S., up to 50 million, that's the number. Some say more, but it's a lot. And Trump promised, as usual, promised the moon. He hasn't done anything. You know how long it would take to deport 50 million people? Unless you made them self-deport, which I have gone through many times, and that is a perfectly viable solution to what we have to deal with here in the U.S. Perfectly vile. Self-deportation. And if you want to know what that is, just briefly, you give them all notice that you have 30 days to leave the country, present yourself at the border, register, and depart, and you'll be given what? Give them $5,000 each, whatever. Or if you're captured in the U.S. illegally here, you will do 2 years of 6-day-a-week hard labor helping to rebuild America's infrastructure. You will be housed in a labor camp. You will be used for labor. And then you will be deported forcefully at the border. And if you come back again and are caught, it'll be 4 years of hard labor helping to make America great again. That's my take on it. I don't see any other way. Tell them. Take all your goodies. Take your TV. Take your big screen. Take your stuff. Take your car and go. Present yourself at the border and within the next 30 days, or everyone thereafter will be arrested and put in labor camps. What's wrong with that approach?
Trump is doing the opposite. Is that Stephen Miller, with Stephen Miller in charge of the operation, what's happened is that they put the ICE agents at the airports. So you have the people who are attempting to self-deport who are being arrested there. And they're being detained and sent and they're being sent into the ICE concentration camps. The ones who were attempting to self-deport are being arrested at the airports where they're departing from the United States.
See, there's no effort by Trump to use the concept of self-deportation. It's not happening. It just isn't. This country has been sold out so badly, betrayed to its core. The American Constitution, arguably one of the greatest documents, if not the greatest document ever drawn up by human beings on the planet, has been so violated by Trump and the others. The Zionists, that's who does it. This is all about Zionism, trying to take America down. The same people are taking Europe down. It's all really revolting. But here we are, just to loop back to Iran, who now, according to Trump, does have nuclear weapons. All that chatter about the enrichment program and all, it was all BS. They knew the Iranians had the bomb. You don't keep that a secret. Intelligence is too good now. So there we go. So what is Netanyahu going to do? Fly his American planes with his American bombs, glide bombs, air-launched cruise missiles? Is he going to fly them again toward Iran and then demand we replenish everything again, 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 and again? Or is Trump simply going to say, we're going to support you and we'll be right behind you, and do it? I don't know. Look, this is a U.S.-Israeli war against Iran, And if you apply it to the Ukrainian paradigm, it's a war being fought by the U.S. against Russia. Make no mistake about it. And just to one last thing, ask yourself, if the Zionists are not in control of Russia, why is Zelensky still in power? Why is he still alive?
That is a question that needs answering.
You bet. Yeah. No, they gave no touch protection to him in the beginning. The Zionist oligarchs, the Jews in Russia, who flooded in there from Israel when the Soviet Union collapsed to take over, and they got a huge amount of power, they're running much of the country. The Zionist Jewish oligarchs are in control of much of the country. Don't pretend it isn't. You have to understand somehow what's going on there. And that's the truth. That's why Zelensky is still alive. They could have killed him 10,000 times by now.
Well, the Russian economy for a long time has been dominated by these Jewish oligarchs.
Israeli Jewish oligarchs. They flooded in there. We got a paper about that recently from a Jewish author, and told the truth, and it is a fact. Nobody knew that here. They flooded in there. They knew there were going to be all kinds of opportunities through chaos, uncertainty, division, and they went in there, and boy, did they took over a lot. They took charge. Not a surprise.
I heard about this 23 years ago. I learned about this when I was in Moscow. When I was in Moscow 23 years ago is when I first heard about this.
Wow.
So this has been going on for a long time.
You bet. Well, come on. Yevgeny Prigozhin was the biggest hero of Russia since World War II. And they killed him. Putin was embarrassed. He shamed. He didn't try to. He shamed the Russian administration. Sergei Shoigu, the bureaucrat who was running the defense, he was like defense secretary, was doing nothing to win the Ukraine war. Just fighting to a standoff, basically. Getting money from military-industrial operation. Do you know the Ukrainian government has sent invitations to all major military-industrial complex corporations to bring your tech here and try it out with real live victims? Bring your technology here and try it out in real combat circumstances. This is how they're making money. Probably going right into Zelensky's pockets as usual. Really disgusting. I hope that somehow Putin is given the latitude to bring Kiev to its knees. They have to do something, or this thing's going to drag on forever.
And unfortunately, the response of the so-called church is simply to promote every form of moral deviance, and to condemn those who are resisting this onslaught of this invasion of migrants.
Just call them invaders, Father Kramer. They're not migrating. They're being moved in there. This is an invasion.
Well, here in Ireland, the invaders are young male military-aged Muslims.
Yep. Rapists in waiting, probably 95% of them or more. Rapists in waiting for a victim. And there are lots of victims out there. And we only hear of a few of the cases. And they are hideous. This hate-driven performing by these people everywhere. Terrible, ugly, evil, satanic performances. gang grooming of little girls. I mean, it just goes on and on. Are the rank and file in Ireland aware of the things we talk about? Do they feel that way too? They just have no voice. They're barred from the media, I would think. How do the average people see this over there? Do they understand that they've been set up, sold out, and then now being gutted by these people?
The country is going to reach, is very near the boiling point at this. It's going to boil over. There are too many Irish people who are suffering, whereas these invaders are being given the red carpet. They're given free housing. They're being given See? Free benefits. They're given everything. Everything is handed to them, and the Irish people are so many. Irish people are homeless. They're on the streets.
Yeah. Yep. Same thing here. No, they should all. Never mind. You all know what needs to be done. Forced eviction. Self-deportation. Make it worth their while to go home. Their third world ideology, their third world social training will never fit in a first world country. There is no such thing as assimilation. It will not happen. Sorry.
But the rage of the native population in many countries in Europe is beginning to be directed at the government, because they realize that the invaders are not the problem. The problem are the ones who are bringing the invaders in, and that the ones who need to be dealt with forcefully are the government officials who are allowing this. Who are mandating this?
They are the ones. That's a good word. That's right. Yeah.
And so the mood in many countries now in Europe is that the ones who need to be hanged are the ones in the government, and that's where the rage will be directed at the government.
Yeah, I know. I know. Look at the UK. What is left of the United Kingdom? What is left of Great Britain? Not a hell of a lot. Not much.
Well, there was the recent case. This 18-year-old Englishman. I think his name was Henry Novak.
That's important. Go ahead. Tell us that story.
There was a dark-skinned Sikh who stabbed him 5 times, murdered him. And he rang the police and said that he was assaulted by this young man. So the police came, and he was, Novak was mortally wounded, stabbed 5 times by his assailant, and he told the police, "I've been stabbed." They didn't believe him, but they were handcuffing him, and while they were handcuffing him, he died of his wounds.
Handcuffing a mortally wounded man. How insane is that?
The mortally wounded murder victim was being handcuffed. And so they finally arrested the Sikh. They didn't handcuff him. They did not handcuff the murderer, by the way.
Of course not.
They arrested him, but they did not handcuff the murderer. They handcuffed the murder victim.
What's wrong with that picture, everybody? And how many times have we seen similar stories here in the U.S. and in Europe? Do you not see what's happening? I'm sure most of you listening here do, but the rank and file, they just look the other way. They don't want to hear about it. They've got problems of their own, et cetera, et cetera. When the whole world is going down, the Western world is going down in flames all around them. It is.
But that one has really struck a nerve in England.
Good.
The English, the people of England have reached the boiling point over this one. It's high time.
Indeed. All right. Where are we in getting Catholic, real Catholic activists organized and ready to set up a schism in the church and break away from the frauds in the papacy? They've got to get away from the Vatican. They have to set up their own alternate headquarters, their own Vatican II, if you will, whatever. And I just hope they do that. And if they do, I would honestly expect that they would name you as a very key person in the administration of the effort to preserve the legitimate, real, historic Catholic Church. You are the leader that they need. Your mind. Because you're honest, honorable, extremely well informed, and you don't play games. This church will be gone. It's going to be a shadow of its former self unless there's a secession of a very large part of the organized membership of the church. There has to be. I don't know how else it could happen.
It's starting to happen already because the religious order founded by Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. Back in 1988, Archbishop Lefebvre consecrated four bishops, and he and they were all pronounced to be excommunicated by then Pope John Paul II. Eventually, Pope Benedict lifted those so-called excommunications because the excommunications were a fraud to begin with. They were fraudulent, and I'll explain that. But now, Prevost, the man who calls himself Leo XIV, is threatening the same penalty. And it's the same language, the same verbiage, that they're claiming that this is a schismatic act that they're going to, next month, they're going to consecrate four more bishops. And the Vatican says they are going to be excommunicated. They will be self-excommunicating. There will be automatic excommunication. They will incur automatic excommunication for a schismatic act. Now, this is a total fraud. When Archbishop Lefebvre consecrated the four bishops, eminent authorities of canon law, academics who the most eminent professors of canon law, such as Count Neri Capponi and others, published articles explaining that according to canon law, and it's in black and white, it's nothing too difficult to understand. Anybody who can read the text of the canons, and it's as plain and clear in black and white as can be, that they cannot be automatically excommunicated for doing something that they believe in their conscience is absolutely necessary to do. If they believe they are acting under necessity, then they cannot incur any automatic penalty. Now, the Vatican falsified their argument by saying, well, it was not necessary, and therefore they're excommunicated. In fact, I wrote an article answering the Philippine Bishops' Conference back in the early 90s on the same point. And the Archdiocese of Manila got a priest of the Opus Dei to respond to my article. And they completely falsified my argument, saying, well, no, there was not a case of necessity, and therefore it's invalid. And they quoted the canons that if it's not something necessary, that they're excommunicated. And I pointed out they falsified my own argument. I did not cite the canons that they claimed that I cited. My argument was based on those canons which state plainly in black and white, it is stated plainly in black and white, if a person believes, even wrongly, even if they are in error, if they are in error, but if they believe that they are acting under necessity, they cannot incur an automatic penalty. That means if the Pope wants to excommunicate someone who believes they are acting under necessity, even if they are in error in believing that, the Pope would have to inflict the penalty. It's not you are automatically excommunicated if you do this. No, it's the Pope would have to say, we hereby declare you, we impose upon you the penalty of excommunication. We sentence you to excommunication. That's what the Pope has to say. We sentence you to excommunication, not you have incurred automatic excommunication. Two different things. That's two different kinds of excommunication. One is in the canon law. One is called sententia ferenda, which is inflicting the penalty, and the other is called late sententia, which is the automatically incurred penalty. Now, the Vatican now, Prevost, Robert Prevost, a total fraud, is coming out with the same argument that they will incur automatic excommunication. That is bovine excreta, to put it politely. That's the excretion of the bull, in other words. That's what Prevost is spewing. Nonsense. Garbage. The canon law is clear. They do not incur an automatic penalty because they have explained why they think it's necessary. And the Superior General of the Society of St. Pius X, which is the order founded by Archbishop Lefebvre, their Superior General, Father Pagliarani, has answered, and I think it's a masterstroke of Father Pagliarani to answer in the manner that he has answered. Basically, what he's saying is, he's saying to the Vatican and to Leo the 14th, how is it that you give carte blanche to every form of moral and doctrinal deviance? You don't. The most they will ever give is a slap on the wrist to some of the worst offenders. But for the most part, it's carte blanche for every form of deviance. But those who will uphold the faith of the Catholic Church, those who will uphold the 2,000-year tradition of the Catholic Church, they are the ones who are being hit with the most severe penalties. And Father Pagliarani is asking, why? Why are we being singled out? Why are you judging with two weights and two measures? Carte blanche to everyone else, but to us who are simply upholding the Church's tradition, that you are coming down hard on us. Why? And now that answer is resonating. There are bishops who are beginning to speak out. There was a recent interview of Father Charles Murr, who lived in Rome for a good number of years, author of a number of books, including Murder in the 33rd Degree, on the assassination of Pope John Paul I.
Right.
Pointing the finger at Cardinal Sebastiano Baggio in that matter. Huh. Father Charles Murr has spoken out, explaining that bishops are now beginning to become more vocal, whereas they had been previously trained to keep silent about the wrongdoings of their superior. I think the most famous case I can think of is Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who, when when this narcissist Cardinal Bellman of New York had received some million-dollar donation worth of powdered milk for the poor, and that was handed over to the Society for the Propagation of the Faith, which was headed by Archbishop Sheen. Although the money was donated, and the powdered milk was donated, and Archbishop Sheen was going to give this to the poor, Spellman wanted Archbishop Sheen's Society for the Propagation of the Faith to pay for it, to pay the retail value, and the thing is, Spellman first received the donation free, so Spellman just wants to pocket the money and put it into the archdiocese coffers, and who knows what kind of corruption would divvy up that sum of money. And Spellman, Sheen refused. He said this was donated money, and we're not paying for it. And as a result, Spellman made it very clear that he was going to get his revenge against Archbishop Sheen, and Archbishop Sheen was removed he was the Bishop of Rochester, and he was eventually removed by Paul VI. And Archbishop Sheen never made a word of complaint, never spoke against Cardinal Spellman.
I didn't know what happened to him. Yeah, he was a remarkable, powerful presence in American early television. I remember he was a big, heavily watched, highly rated weekly program. I think it was weekly. Anyway, isn't it time, Father Kramer, perhaps maybe you and Bishop Vigano and others, isn't it time for a document, a declaration that the church is no longer wholly loyal, if at all, to the Vatican and Rome because of the synodal fraud that's been going on? It's time, isn't it time to put a document out there to declare a formal split in the church? If the time isn't now, I don't know when it would be. And isn't that something that should be written and presented?
Well, I'll present it here.
Go ahead.
The catalyzing event, I think, is going to be taking place on July the 2nd, when the four bishops are going to be consecrated, and the Vatican is threatening them with this fraudulent automatic excommunication. I think that's going to set things in motion. That is going to finally precipitate the response that the church has needed over the last half century.
Do you agree with me? Or am I look, I'm not a Catholic, but I watch and I see the tides of corruption, of deceit, flowing out of the Vatican freely, seemingly unopposed. Isn't it time for a major document to be released, to be drafted and released by the most powerful voices in the real church, you and Vigano and others? It's time. If we don't do it, if I don't see it happen now, it almost suggests a tacit approval of the betrayal from Rome.
It is going to happen, and it's going to happen soon.
I'm going to quote you on that, my friend. Okay. All right. It has to happen, or you got no more church. You have a mechanism of control that is a fraud. Go ahead.
The whole process is being set in motion now that these four bishops are going to be consecrated, and with the response of the Vatican, they think they can answer in the same way they answered in the past, but there are too many bishops in the church who are saying, we've had it with this. No more. We've had enough.
All right. Good. It's time. It has to happen, or goodbye, church. It's not going to. It won't withstand this. Thank you, Father Kramer, for your frankness, your intelligence, your wisdom. Great to talk with you. Talk to you next time. You take care.
Bye now.
All right, Father Paul Kramer, and it is time. I know I'm right on this. They have to make it. Would shake up the world. They've got to lay out a document. All right. Have a great weekend. Try to put some time away for yourself to be quiet and reflect. Let those things settle down in your mind, all the stress, all the strain. I know how much it's there. I've my own sets of problems here. We all do. We're human. And we're being victimized by a terrible regime here. Have a wonderful weekend. Try and get some food, set it aside for this fall. Numana is a great operation. Do patronize our sponsors, please. They are the best. Allison C., the only thing that will kill the spike protein and will address all major viral and bacterial infections. It's all natural, and it's great. Have a wonderful time. Talk to you Monday.